Gopidana Balava Jai Girivanadi Jai Girivanadi Gopijana Balava Jai Girivanadi Jaya Yasurinandana Jai Rajajananana Yasurinandana Jai Rajajananana Ravanachari Jai Kundavi Jai Kundavi Gopijana Balava Jai Girivanadi Jai Gopijana Balava Jai Girivanadi Jai
To read from the Prem Bhakti Chandrika by one of my favorite devotees, Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Prabhupada recommends this book in several of his purports, saying that devotees who want to understand the deeper mellows of devotional service, the science of God, should refer to this Prem Bhakti Chandrika. So it's authorized by our Guru Maharaj, and it's been translated by our devotees. This particular edition that we're reading from has a very beautiful commentary by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Just as Raghunath Das Goswami, he compiled the leelas of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the essence of his instructions in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, so Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Narottam Das Thakur has taken the essence of the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami and presented it in a very simple format for us in this Prem Bhakti Chandrika. After the departure of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Bhaganath Das Goswami moved from Jagannath Puri, where he'd been for many years with Lord Chaitanya. He actually arrived there as a young boy. It's said that he left home when he was 15, and by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, he was able to take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Bhaganath Das Goswami witnessed many of the leelas of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that Anchu Leela, the final pastimes of the Lord in Jagannath Puri. And when Lord Chaitanya passed away, it was a source of great anxiety for all the devotees, especially Bhaganath Das, who as a young boy received a lot of attention from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he put Raghunath Das Goswami under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And he said, whatever you need to know about the science of God, of Krishna consciousness, you can learn from Swarup Damodar, my representative. It's very instructive. If you want to understand the science of the Lord, it's not necessary, either is it possible, to approach the Lord directly. It's not our way. Krishna says, one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee. But one who's the devotee of my devotee, he's actually my devotee. This is Krishna's wish. We take shelter of his representative. So this is demonstrated very nicely by the Lord himself when he put Raghunath Das under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. But on several occasions, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave some personal attention to Raghunath Das. Raghunath Das came from a very wealthy family, actually. His father was like a big landholder, almost the title of a king. And Raghunath Das gave all of that up for the service of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And many of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates were very strict renunciates, just like Mahaprabhu himself. Although Mahaprabhu is Krishna, who was a supreme enjoyer, in this age he appeared as a sannyasi, and he was a very strict sannyasi. Actually, Prabhupada describes it. Mahaprabhu's female followers, disciples, they wouldn't come close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They would offer their obeisances from a distance. He was very strict. And he was very strict also with his immediate followers, those who were renunciates. So he trained Raghunath Das Goswami in this way. And he told him one time, he said, don't hear the mundane talk of materialists or repeat what they say. Don't wear fancy clothes. Eat simply. And in your heart, always remember the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. This is the essential instructions to those in the renounced order of life. Of course, it applies to all of us because we are all on the path of renunciation, whether we're brahmacharis or grihasthas or vanaprasthas or sannyasis. We're all on the path of renunciation because you can't become Krishna conscious unless you're detached from this world, obviously. So he instructed like this to Raghunath Das Goswami. He was very affectionate towards him. Prabhupada said that the spiritual master is naturally very benevolent towards his disciples because he realizes their struggle in becoming renounced and the difficulty in becoming attached again to Krishna after millions of lifetimes. So he's like a loving father. Sometimes the spiritual master expresses that love in the form of chastisement because spare the rod, spoil the child. Sometimes the spiritual master has to be very heavy with the disciple. He's a guru. But also he's very loving and caring. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu demonstrated this with his immediate disciples. So he showed his affection, his very deep affection to Raghunath Das Goswami, who as a young boy had given up this vishaya, this spirit of sense enjoyment, which is so strong in youth. We can all look back on our youth and remember. It's hard to see that in these children because these children are born into Vaishnava families. On the way here, the car was packed with kids. Like, just packed with kids. I was thinking, so. But the whole way, the kids were talking about Krishna in their own way. How many rounds they're chanting and what they've read and you know who their favorite devotees and they're asking me questions I couldn't even answer. I said, I'll note that and do some research like that. So not these children, because they're continuing their devotional service from previous lives. But generally children have this strong spirit towards enjoyment. So if a child shows otherwise, that he's inclined towards Krishna consciousness, he's not interested in frivolous things and mundane sports and pajop and things like that, then actually one takes notice and one wants to give some mercy. It's like we invited all the kids to the puja today. The adults had to sit at the back. When it came time to distribute the mahaprasadam, it all went to the children. So we want to encourage like that. So to encourage Raghunath Das Goswami, who was young at the time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put him under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami, gave him some instructions, and out of very deep affection for him, he gave him two very special gifts. Because at Vaishnavas, this is part of our process, to express our love, we exchange gifts. This whole movement is to awaken our love. The whole purpose of Krishna consciousness. So, in the Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami describes these six loving exchanges between devotees. That we, one devotee speaks about Krishna, and the audience hears. 1 and 2. 3 and 4, that a devotee invites another Vaishnava into their home for prasad, and that Vaishnava accepts that invitation. And 5 and 6, that some gifts are exchanged. Something nice. It's like we should give the very best to the deity, Prabhupada said. And Prabhupada told me personally when he gave me a gift one time. He gave me his own dhoti to encourage me in my preaching in Europe. He took his, and he said, this is for you. And he said, a gift from a Vaishnava is a very special thing. So Lord, he's original guru, he's acharya, he's teaching by example. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes give gifts to his disciples. He encouraged Maharaj Pataparudra by giving a piece of his cloth. Maharaj Pataparudra was a king, and Mahaprabhu would not associate with kings because kings are generally sense enjoyers. A king has to be a little bit in the mode of passion in order to rule. Prabhupada said, you'll never see a picture of Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra with a bead bag. He's got his sword fighting Dharma. So kings have to be a little bit, you know, in the mode of passion to rule, to conquer and divide, and make decisions, chastise, and so forth and so on like that. So sannyasis are forbidden to associate with kings. They cannot associate with kings. So Mahaprabhu wouldn't give his association to Maharaj Pataparudra. But Maharaj Pataparudra was no ordinary king. He was a Vaishnava of the highest caliber. He's actually eternal associate of the Lord. Just as when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, he was accompanied by his eternal associates from the spiritual world, from Vaikuntha, from Moloka. Similarly, when Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared, he brought the same associates who appeared with him. They took their birth in Braj, they took their birth in Bengal, they took their birth in Orissa. Some of them took birth also even in South India. Gopalbhai Goswami, Prabodhananda Saraswati, Venkat Bhattacharya, so all appeared. So this particular eternal associate appeared as Maharaj Bhattacharya, as a king, but for the purpose of instructing us. Because all the pastimes of the Lord are very beautiful, but there's very deep meaning and instruction in all the pastimes of the Lord. So Mahaprabhu instructed those in the renounceable of life. Don't be flattered by the materialistic persons who may want to give you some wealth or some honor or some fame. No, remain some distance from that. So, but Lord knew he was devotee, so he wouldn't become despondent in the early part of the Leela, he sent Maharaj Pathipruta a piece of his cloth. And when Maharaj Pathipruta received this cloth from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was in ecstasy, because he saw it as tadiya. Tadiya means part of the Lord's paraphernalia, and essentially it's non-different, it's worshipable. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vimraha, the name, the fame, the form, the paraphernalia of the Lord, it's all absolute, worshipable. When Yashodananda Maharaj came back from a trip in South India, he brought to Srila Prabhupada one stone which he had taken from a hovalam. Hovalam is where Lord Narasimhadev appeared. And this stone was from the pillar that crashed down when Narasimhadev appeared from the pillar. You see the picture, the pillar exploded and the Lord came out. This is his Ugra form, his most ferocious form. Like we have one, Ugra Nisringa Shalagram. Only sannyasis can worship, because if grihastras worship, it takes everything away. Wife, children, house, bank balance, car. Not rather than the sannyasis, they don't mind, but grihastras, they cry. They can worship Lakshmi Nisringa, not Ugra Nisringa. So the part of the pillar, he brought that back, and he said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, can I worship this? Prabhupada said, what is it? He said, it's Nisringadev. And the president said, it's not Nisringadev. So then Yashodananda Maharaj, he did some research, and he understood it was the tadiya, it was part of the Lord's paraphernalia, part of the pastime. So Prabhupada said, where is this stated? And he said, Brahmanda Purana. So he said, all right, you can worship with little chandan. So we worship, even when we do puja, we first install the paraphernalia, we worship the paraphernalia of the Lord, and then we use the paraphernalia of the Lord in the worship of the Lord. So that which is in relationship to the Lord is also worshipable. Therefore we take very good care of the Lord's paraphernalia. So when Maharaj Pathipruta received this cloth, he exhibited ecstatic symptoms, and he would worship that cloth daily. And similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his cloth and his asana, his seat, to who? Gopal Bhatt Goswami, who was living in Vrindavan at that time. And even today, on the appearance of Radharaman deity, which was the worshipable deity of Gopal Bhatt Goswami. And one other day, I forget, the appearance day of Gopal Bhatt Goswami. They bring that asana, like this is an asana, the sitting place. So they bring the asana of Gauranga Mahaprabhu out and they display the cloth. And the 12 shalagram shilas of Gopal Bhatt Goswami, you can see. And they perform puja to the asana and they perform puja to the cloth. And also one of my friends, Padmanabha Goswami, received a small portion of the cloth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that resides in the Gambira temple in Jagannath Puri. His great-great-great-grandfather got some of that. He gave me a little tiny piece, which I also worship as a deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this exchange of gifts is very... Because love means, love is not it's a dynamic. It's an exchange. You demonstrate your love through service, actually. Exchange of service. Love is not stagnant. It's dynamic. Two lovers are not just sitting there looking at each other, but they're engaged in demonstrating their love in service in various ways. So one expression of that love is to give something that's very dear to you to another Vaishnava. Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that we should give gifts to the deity, but don't give something insignificant. Give something, the very best you have, you give that to Krishna. That's a sign. The gopis, they gave the very best. They gave their hearts to Krishna. Therefore, they're considered the greatest of all devotees. We have to give something significant to the Lord. We don't want to be like the man who came to see Srila Prabhupada and he gave a check for $1,000 and Prabhupada wasn't impressed. Because he was a millionaire. So Prabhupada said, Krishna's not looking what you're putting in the hundi, he's looking what you're keeping in your back pocket. You can't cheat Krishna. He's the gambling of cheats. He's the greatest cheater. He cheated Bali Maharaj of his whole kingdom. You can't cheat Krishna. So give the very best to Krishna, because that's the sign of love. When a man really loves a woman, and he wants to express that love, he doesn't mind how much he's spending. He'll go out and buy her a 5-carat diamond ring. And he'll give it. And then she, so you give me the very best. Yes, because I love you. I lust you. Lust means for me, love means for Krishna. So a devotee gives the very best to the Lord. So when we go to the temple, then whenever we should give something, the best mangoes, the best donation, even if it puts us in a little bit of inconvenience, to build your temple, you have to sacrifice. Not that our house should be better than the Lord's house. If we go to the temple and the standard of the temple is the beauty, the opulence of the temple is less than our own home, then we should hang our head in shame. We should come together as a congregation and make a sacrifice that the house of God is more attractive than our own house. Otherwise, we should be called Grihamedis, not Grihastras. Grihastra means that we have a humble existence. That can be nice, but the Lord's house, the house of God, is so beautiful that it attracts people from even distant lands. Like when you go to Tirupati. People come from all over the world to go to Tirupati. He's the most wealthy deity in India. Lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of rupees. He's dripping in gold. And the materialists are envious. Why are you spending money on this statue? As the Brahmana said, the young Brahmana, when he came to Vrindavan to see Shakshi Gopal, he said, you are not a statue, Lord. You are directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. I offer you my obeisance. Please come stand as my witness. So we should offer the best to Krishna. And in return, although we don't desire any return, Lord will give us full protection. He is the protector of his fully surrendered devotees. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to show his love for Raghunath Das Goswami, because love is reciprocal. As we love the Lord, Lord is also loving us. As we go out of our way to express our love to Krishna, Krishna goes out of his way to express his love for his devotee. This is the beauty of our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. That we are seeing how the Lord reciprocates fully with his surrendered devotees. So what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give Raghunath Das Goswami to express his love? He gave him one stone and one set of beads. It was gunja berries. Gunja berries. In Braj you have these gunja berries. They're black. They're red and black. Red and yellow. Or red, black, white. Like that. They're common in every place. Even I found them in Argentina. We're hiking in the mountains. I saw the gunja berries this big. You know, in Braj they're this big. But in Argentina, same thing. They're this big. And I picked a whole bunch of them and I strung them into a necklace and I gave them to my very dear friend Bhakti Bringa Govinda Swami Maharaj. Because he has one Govardhan Shila this big in their temple.
They have one big Govardhan Shila.
So I thought this necklace of Gunjaberry would be very appropriate. So when I gave it to him, he was amazed. Where have you gotten these? I said, secret. But he was very happy. So there was one devotee who came from Vrindavan to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, and he brought him one stone from Govardhan Hill and one necklace of small gunja berries. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that stone, in Sanskrit you say Shila, but Shila translated means stone, and he saw the necklace of gunja berries, he started to cry. No ordinary tears. Oh, Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment like 12 years. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. Goswami says we should learn this art of crying for Krishna. But it can't be artificial, it has to come from the heart. But it's there for one who renounces material life and attempts to come closer to Krishna through the authorized process of sadhan bhakti, devotional service, that one day the tears will come, for sure. The hankering has to bear them, but if it's there in time, they will come. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to cry. Why is he crying over it? Some berries and some stones. It's like Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was just beginning his movement in America, our dear God sister Malati went to the store to buy some Indian-related items for Prabhupada's cooking, some asfatita. What did American people know about asfatita? Turmeric. Cumin seeds, ghee. There was a store you could buy this in those days. I remember it was the 60s. And I used to go to that store also in the West Coast called Cost Plus. I don't know if they still have it. It was all things from around the world. I was so fascinated. I did. You know, I had this strong desire to see the world. Krishna fulfilled it in the right way. I started off on the wrong way. I went to Mexico, Latin America, I went to Egypt, I went to Sudan, I went to Lebanon. I didn't find anything. I came back, met Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada said, all right, now go travel for Krishna. I used to go to Cost Plus and just stare at all these exotic items. So Malati was there buying some things for Prabhupada's cooking in New York City. And lo and behold, there's some little gifts here and there. She saw these cute little statues. She bought one. It's Indian looking, and she brought it back and just kind of pulled it out. But look at this little cute little statue. Prabhupada stood up, fell down like a danda. Dandabhas, that little wooden statue. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Vishnaya, Bhutale, Srimati, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Iti Namine, Namaste. Jagannatha Swami, Dhyana Kattadam, Bhava Tume. He's paying full dandavas, praying, and he got up in a reverential mood, praying to the devotees were dumbstruck. It's a good word. Dumbstruck. Eloquence is truth spoken concisely. They were dumbstruck. Struck, just dumbfounded. What is Guru Maharaj bowing down to a wooden doll? Prabhupada, at that point, everything was introduced gradually. Prabhupada began to introduce the concept, the idea, the reality of Archa Vigraha. Worshipping the Lord in the so-called material form. The Lord is not visible to our present vision, our contaminated, sick vision. But one who develops a hankering for seeing the Lord, then he's so kind, he appears in a so-called material form. The form is carved from material elements. We follow the particular process. We ask the Lord to descend in the form of the deity. Out of his mercy, he appears so we can see him, so we can touch him, so we can dress him, so we can cook for him, so we can serve him. He's visible, he's to our vision. And this way we become purified by engaging in direct service to the Lord. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Parisevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. The nine processes of devotional service are easily facilitated in relationship to the deity of the Lord. So kind is the Lord to appear. Although he's greater than the great, he becomes smaller than the smallest. He can sit in the palm of our hand to receive our worship. He's so kind. It's confirmed. So he appeared as Jagannath Swami. And Jagannath Swami, Prabhupada, and he explained, introduced like this. He asked Shamsundar to carve a big deity, Jagannath. And he was carving this big deity of Jagannath, very big deity, and smoking. And he put his cigarette on the head of Jagannath, because he just put it there like an ashtray. And Prabhupada walked in, "What is this? You're ready to risk your love of God for a cigarette?" Took the cigarette. That's how he stopped smoking. Easy way to stop smoking. You get chastised by your guru. You don't need this long program of, you know, nicotine. You reduce the nicotine or whatever. Just, you become chastised. Stop! Yes, sir. It's possible. So, the deity is not different than the Lord. So, who is this stone that he received from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Yeah. Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill and he declared that I am the Govardhan Hill. Then he stood on top of Govardhan Hill after he put it down. So Vaishnavas, Prabhupada says in Krishna book, Vaishnavas, they go to Vrindavan. He said they take pebbles. Govindamarg took a big pebble in his temple in Kazakhstan. They take pebbles and they worship them as non-different than the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that you will directly see Krishna. If you worship this Shila, the mode of goodness, then one day you'll see the Lord directly in this deity. So this is his kindness to Raghunath Das Goswami. And he also gave him the Gunjamala. He gave him the red and white berries which represent Srimati Radharani. So he's very kind to Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami, of course, became very attached. So you can imagine, the stronger the attachment, the more intense the feelings of separation. So these devotees, they're nitya siddhas, or eternal liberated souls. So their attachment is of the highest caliber. So when Gauranga Mahaprabhu left, Raghunath Das Goswami, he decided that I'm just going to go to Braj and give up my body. The pain of giving up my body would be less than the pain of separation. Just see how deep their attachment is. That the pain of death, and there's nothing more painful than death, I think, I've heard. We will see. One time I had a kidney stone. Yajur Veda, which describes Ayurveda medicine, the Yajur Veda says the pain of a kidney stone is equal to the pain of death. Sometimes they say that birth, the pain that a mother feels giving birth to a child is also equal to the pain of death. So those ladies who've had children, they know. I've heard. But I know because I had a kidney stone. And, you know, for all my chanting, all I could scream was, ah! Was so painful, vomiting, falling unconscious, and rolling on the ground screaming until the doctor gave me morphine. They took me to the hospital. He gave me morphine. He gave me 3 morphine shots. He said, "That's enough to put out a horse." What is this boy? Enough to put a horse out. And you know, the morphine is an intoxicant. So I was floating. Just like, I broke the principles. I got intoxicated. But I had no choice, otherwise I would have died from the pain, actually. And I came down. Later that night, they gave me more morphine. It was pain. But according to Shastra, the pain of death is less than the pain of separation from Krishna. Those who have such deep attachment to Krishna. The pain of separation is so, because the love is so intense. We're just beginning to understand. Just beginning to understand. So, Bhagavanath Das Goswami Mahaprabhu had left. So he decided, I will go to Vrindavan. One who takes birth in Vrindavan is liberated. One who lives in Vrindavan becomes liberated. One who dies in Vrindavan, he becomes liberated. He goes back home, back to God. And therefore, devotees who want to leave their bodies, if possible, they go to Braj in that sanctified atmosphere. They give up their bodies and go back home. So he went and he expressed his desire to Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And Rupa Goswami says, no, you can't do that. You should share your realizations with all the Vaishnavas. You can't jump off Govardhan Hill. If do you have so much mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so you have to share that. But you go and reside at Radhakund. Radhakund is part of Govardhan Hill. So by giving you the Govardhan Shield of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's indicated your residence is at Govardhan Hill. So he stayed there. And while he was there, Raghunath Das Goswami made as many pastimes, but while residing, he resided 48 years on the banks of Radhakund. He excavated that kund, and his mercy was that for 3 hours every day he would speak Gauranga Leela. He would sit and never say the same thing twice. 48 years, 3 hours a day, Gauranga Leela. So, Kaviraj Goswami, Shri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he would attend those darshans, and he would take notes. It's like now we have tape recorders. So he would take the notes, and from his notes, he wrote the epic Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just from the notes. And you know, he expresses several times in Chaitanya Charitamrita that he wanted, he's not telling everything because he didn't want the book to become too voluminous. It's already 17 volumes as published by our Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. And if you have the one volume like that in small print, the font I think is 10 or 9, right? Still very thick. So he didn't tell us everything. Oh. We have Chaitanya Bhagwat, and other books about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But like that, he kindly took the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, and he presented it in the form of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So similarly, Narottam Das Thakur, he took the essence of the teachings of Rupa Goswami, because Gauranga Mahaprabhu instructed us through his disciples. He asked his immediate followers, you please write books on the science of Krishna consciousness. You pour through the Vedic scriptures. You show how Krishna is the absolute truth. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Adir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Kana. You demonstrate to the world Krishna Shtu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original personality. You write books on the science of awakening our love for Krishna. So Sanatana Goswami, he wrote on the basic practices of devotional service. And Rupa Goswami wrote on the deeper purports of loving devotional service. But their books were in Sanskrit. They were scholars. Well, they were living very simply under a different tree every day and every night. They were very erudite scholars and realized devotees, so they wrote in Sanskrit. So even then, Sanskrit was not the language of common people, especially those who were living in Bengal. But you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is for everyone. Although Lord favors Brahmins. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Govramanya Hitaya Cha Jagaditaya Krishna Sa Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namah. The Brahmins are his representatives on earth. They preach the science of God consciousness. And cows are Krishna's favorite animal. Actually, I think that he likes cows more than Brahmanas, because in Vrindavan he doesn't herd Brahmanas. He herds cows. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he broke open the storehouse of love of God and made it available to everyone. Even the most wretched, the most fallen, just to demonstrate the potency of the holy names. Mahaprabhu delivered even Jagai and Madai, giving us great hope. Because no one in this room is as fallen as Jagai and Madai. But they were delivered. So there's hope for us. So Narottam Das Thakur, who appeared just after the Leelas of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he carried the torch, so to speak. He kept the fire burning. He carried the torch. So he appeared. So he had, his mercy was that he made these very deep, somewhat esoteric teachings, which, of course, a little beyond our league, but nevertheless, we shouldn't be ignorant of them. We should know what is Siddhanta. Siddhanta means the goal, and by understanding what is the Siddhanta, then we're inspired to take even our first steps in devotional service. Just like a young athlete watches the Olympics on television and thinks, I want to be an Olympic champion. So he or she begins their first basic training in ice skating or, you know, track and field. And from that initial desire is born a superstar. Of course, at the Olympics, only one person in the event gets the gold medal. Even these days, the silver medal is not so highly esteemed. What to speak of the bronze are coming in fourth out of 2,000 entries still, gold. But in Krishna consciousness, everybody can be a winner. Everyone can be a winner. Everyone can get a gold medal in Krishna consciousness. Everyone can go back home, back to Godhead. Even in one lifetime, it's possible, according to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But we have to know the Siddhanta. We have to know what is the goal. Dharma, Artha, Kam, Moksh. These are the general goals of people. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced a fifth goal of life. Prem Bhakti, love for God. So Prabhupada's books are sprinkled with this nectar. He actually, the first books he translated was the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, a summary of the 10th canto. Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, before I may die at any time, but I want to give my followers, I want to give the world the understanding of the glories of Braj Bhakti. So he wrote a summary of the 10th canto, called it the Krishna book, which we were distributing, you know, in the early days in the bars and the brothels on the streets of San Francisco. The topmost nectar to the most fallen. This is the miracle of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's movement. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, at the very first meeting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Ramkeli, north of Mayapur, he said, Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gotase Namaha. Out of all the incarnations of God, you are the most munificent. Because you're freely distributing this love of God to everyone without distinction. What type of love? Not just some ordinary love of God. If it could be something like that. Prabhupada said, my guru is not an ordinary guru. He saves me. Doesn't mean gurus are ordinary, but extraordinary bhakti siddhanta saraswati. So what is extraordinary love of God? Golok premdan harinam sankirtan. The love of Golok, which comes to us by the mercy of the holy names of Krishna. That special, pristine, pure, 24-karat gold love, prema. So it's there. If we read, study, Prabhupada said, my disciples should know my books like a lawyer knows the law books. If you read carefully, you'll come across many passages, like little tidbits, hors d'oeuvres. Hors d'oeuvre comes before the main meal. It's meant to get your saliva glands going. You may not be hungry, but when the host brings around some apple juice and peanuts like they do on the plane, then it gets the digestive juices working and then you're hungry. Right? So even as neophytes, we hear these things and it's meant to get the volume, the hankering going. Instead of hankering for the mundane things, this country is just sick with this madness for mundane sports. I can't believe it. I travel all over the world, but this country's mad for football and baseball and basketball, throwing rubber balls through hoops, through goalposts, through soccer. You know, it's just crazy. And all these men are just lusty, materialistic, fame-seeking, you know, under the heel. It's terrible. The lolium for sense gratification is terrible. But it's not that we can stop the desire, we have to purify the desire, because the soul has very strong desires. Very intense desires the soul has for Krishna. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, as young boys are attracted to young girls, and as young girls are attracted to young boys, we have experience of these things in this world. So he says, let me have the same intensity of love, but in the pure, transcendental way for you, Krishna. So we have to take our attention away from this American culture. It's become a one-world culture. You travel all over the world, what do you see? America. Even in India, they have McDonald's. They don't serve beef, but they serve chickens. They think, oh, this is okay. What's okay? Nothing okay. You're slaughtering these poor innocent creatures for your taste buds. And they have the Bollywood, which is even more degraded than Hollywood. And the designer clothes and the fashions, and all the ladies in Delhi, they're wearing Levi's, tight Levi's. You hardly see sari, you never see dhoti. When I first went to India in 71, most of the men, not most, but a good percentage of men in Delhi were wearing dhotis. Can you believe it? And all ladies wearing saris. It's all changing now. Material advancement. It's not advancement. It's just deterioration. Deterioration is also a form of progress in material nature. It deteriorates into the, you know, then you can take that earth and very fertile, you can plant new things. But it's deterioration. So, we have to turn the attention of the general mass of people away from this crazy, mad culture which produces simply people who pop pills to sleep and then pop pills to wake up. It's a pill-popping culture. PPC, pill-popping culture. You can give this lecture that title, PPC. Pill-popping culture. I've seen, I went to the store the other day to buy some aspirin. There was 60, 70 brands of aspirin. See, my God, it must be here because people buy it. And that was only part. There was all these other pills for sleeping and waking and stress and anxiety and this and that. What is this culture? What is this culture producing? Neurotics, manic depressants, people full of stress and anxiety. All based. Krishna says, one who lives for the satisfaction of the senses lives vain. But the poor people, they don't know anything else. Of course, they have no one to blame but themselves, but Vaishnavas, they don't accept like that. A Vaishnava's happiness is to see others get Krishna consciousness. His lamentation is to see people bereft. So devotees are quite often sad. Although generally we think of devotees as above it all, amchayo, vichayana, bhaktiyo, Sagunan, Brahma Bhuya, they're Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, Sochati, Nakanshati. They're not hankering, they're not lamenting, they're Brahma Bhut, they're above it, Prasanatma, enjoying happiness. Yes, they're like that, but for seeing the people, they're crying. They're crying for the fallen condition of the master. This is Vaishnava. Vaishnava has no interest in this world, really lost all the interest. When he tastes the nectar of the holy name, immediately he becomes like Vivamangaltap. So when I think of my past life, how I enjoyed with the prostitute Chintami, I spit at the thought. Eventually a devotee spits at the thought of sense gratification, having the Param Drishta Divartante, the higher taste of devotional service. But he's not satisfied with his own liberation. He's thinking these poor people are bereft of Krishna consciousness. But then he experiences the highest nectar. By going out and trying to deliver these people, this is the real nectar. The nectar is not freedom from anxiety and stress. That's kind of a state of limbo. It's like Brahmajyoti. No more material desires. That's a very low form of bliss. The real bliss is service to Krishna. And what type of service Prabhupada trained us in? Preaching, going out, telling people, hey, we're building a temple for our deities, come see. Not that we build a nice temple that we have bhajan. No, everything is okay in our temple. We are not in Seattle. We are in Vaikuntha. Yes, you happy? I'm very happy. Yes, this, no. To become free from sickness is not the bliss. The bliss is to go out and be active. I'm no longer saying be active. So our activity is following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, who in this world preached. This is our bliss. We experience the real bliss when we take on the austerity despite the heat, the cold, the wind, the light, the darkness, the ruffians, the demons. One man, we were on the plane yesterday, and I was getting out of my seat to disembark, and I moved forward, but I didn't notice there was a man in front of me in his seat who wanted to come first, and it was my mistake. I was so eager to get off the plane, I didn't see him. So he said, hey, what kind of manners is that? It's very rude that you stepped in front of me. So rather than just, I said, sir, I'm very sorry. I didn't see you. Yeah, well, you know. So then, as we came down the escalator, he again chastised. What is this? So, did they teach you in your religion to be rude? I said, no, sir. It was my mistake. So then he got his bags and he passed me again. He was in a different mood. He said, so, at least you know how to apologize. And I said, Hare Krishna. So he stopped. He said, thank you. So you have to be very tolerant when you're a preacher, because you're dealing with people who are mad if they spit on you or threaten you or insult you. They have to take it like the patient is sick, so he's not his normal self. But this preaching is very much appreciated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so Narottam, he took this very deep Siddhanta, Prem Bhakti, Raja Bhakti, and he took it out of the Sanskrit and he turned it into simple Bengali. So the people of Bengal, who were very dear to the Lord, because the Lord appeared amongst the Bengalis, he appreciated that culture so much. They have so many nice sweets. You go around India, then you get some sweets here, and you get a little sweet there. When you go to Bengal, sandesh, burfi, rasmalai, sweet rice. One of my favorite places when I was young, because now I'm too old, I can't eat sweets anymore. Doctor told me, sweets are over for you, Baba. You want to live a long time. He said, you have, your liver is not good, your digestion is less, your hearing is going. Hey, you're getting old, man. I said, I don't think I'm old. He said, because your soul, the machine is getting old, so you stop this sweets. So then I went to the astrologer in Rajasthan. He said, same thing. You were eating too many sweets. How do you know, sir? Bhrigu has said here. Bhrigu writes down everyone's chart at the beginning of Kali Yuga because he knows that he knows there'll be very few qualified astrologers. So he wrote down everyone's chart. Everything is there. You know, you read that chapter. So he said, Swami, too many sleeps. You know,
Bhrigu has it.
Bhrigu wrote this 5,000 that I would eat too many sweets? Yes. He said, you should stop when you're 57. How old are you? 56, one more year. No, you stop now. Because according to Vedic culture, you're 57. 50, yeah, 1 year in your mother's womb. 1 year? No. I said 9 months. I at least I have 4 more months, okay? 3 more months. So, no, you stop now. So I stopped. You can ask my hosts what kind of guest I am. You know, they wait all year to cook a feast, and I come soup and salad. But for longevity, we have to. So, Narottam Das Thakur, he gave his Prem Bhakti Chandrika. And he wrote it in Bengali. Because so many devotees were there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared there. I don't think he appeared for the sweets, but as part of his culture. And he wrote for the Bengalis and the world, obviously. But this is his mercy. As Raghunath Das Goswami compiled Chaitanya Charitamrita, from the teachings of Raghunath Das Goswami, Narottam compiled 2 books, actually. Pratana, so many of those songs Prabhupada has sung, and Prem Bhakti Chandrika. And this Prem Bhakti Chandrika is so special. Gorkhasura Das Babaji Maharaj, he only carried 2 books with him, Prem Bhakti Chandrika and Pratana. And one time some guests asked him, so, Maharaj, I want to develop love of God. Where I can find more information? He said, you go to the market, you pay 5 paisa, you'll understand everything. 5 paisa. In those days you could buy these 2 books for 5 paisa. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati carried his book everywhere he went. That's introduction. Tonight we'll continue. Introduction to Prem Bhakti Chandrika. Actually, you all know this book because the first 5 verses from chapter 1 are called Shri Guru Mahima. And they're the prayer that we sing to Gurudev every day. Shri Guru Charana Padma Eva Bhakati Sadma Bandamui Salavana. Where have our acharyas got this? They got this from Prem Bhakti Chandrika. Narottam wrote this. We've taken that first 5 verses and we've compiled that into the song. But text 5, actually the first 4 verses. Text 5 continues on, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The first part is called The Glories of the Spiritual Master, the first four verses, and then the next 4 verses are called The Glories of the Vaishnava. So we're doing a program tonight somewhere. So then we'll speak from the wonderful words of that glorious devotee, Narottam Das Thakur, who was a very stalwart preacher, very brave, very bold preacher, and at the same time a very deeply realized devotee. So there he's one of my heroes. Because we should be both. We should be very deeply realized. We should be very bold in our preaching. Prabhupada said, if there's no opposition, it means there's no preaching. If you're not going out and preaching the glories, and no one's going to oppose you. So there's no opposition, it means there's no real preaching. So you have to take a bit of a risk to go out there and knock on the doors of all those mean dogs and angry people. On the streets, or through your festivals, or through your temple construction, attracting the attention. We have to preach. This is a missionary movement. We have to be active. We have to be out there. Pressing the flesh, as they say in American lingo. Pressing the flesh? It sounds disgusting. But that's what the politicians do. They go out and they press the flesh. They go out and they squeeze, they shake hands. They go out there. Meet the people. Completely ignorant of Krishna consciousness. Tell them about the glory. Tell them who's God. They believe in God. They know who God is. How can you love someone you don't know, sir? This logic is astounding. Yes. Buy this book, you can learn some more. Yeah, okay, how much is it? Yeah, most people are giving $200. You can give 10. This is the invitation to our temple. We're building a beautiful temple. You can come and take some nice food. So this is preaching. And this is how we make progress. Vornanda Saraswati says in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, to get the mercy of Radharani. Who wants the mercy of Radharani? She's Krishna's dearmost devotee. Tattu kanchana gaurange radhe brindaveshwari. Yes. So Hara is where he addressed Radha to get Krishna's mercy because she's Bhakti Devi, she's in charge of devotional service. If you want Radha's mercy, Bhagavan Saraswati says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you only give Radha's mercy by serving the Sankirtan movement of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Who are we? Just the burnt remnants of the previous ages left over. Who cares for the ashes? Who kicked them into the ground? Mahaprabhu cares. He came. And by his mercy, he is engaging us in delivering. He delivered us and he expects us to deliver others. So by pleasing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we can approach Radha and Krishna. So we have to preach. We have to engage in Sankirtan. We have to go out or in some way or other engage fallen souls in Krishna consciousness. And so Nartam, he's very kind. He set that example by preaching. But he also set another example that he was a very deep sadhaka. You can't really be effective in preaching unless you're purified and you have some vigyan. You have to work on yourself very seriously. It looks very easy at the Olympics when, you know, the pole vaulter just sails over, breaks a record, or the swimmer just swims, wins the race. But there's hours and days and weeks and months and years of very intense training. Now then it looks natural. Just like that we're struggling in our sadhana, but one day we'll become purified. It'll become natural. That's called Raganuga. It's spontaneous. That spontaneous love will be purified, refined. Like Narottam says, gold refined a million times because it becomes the topmost gold. So our devotional service refined becomes Prem Bhakti. So there's no shortcuts. You have to be very serious sadhaka. You have to rise early. You have to have your aratik, and you have to sit and you have to beg for Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. It's a question of the quality. It's not just that I'm chanting 16, I'm chanting 25 rounds for Guru. What's the quality? What is the nature of your appeal? What is the nature of your cry? Are you hankering? You have some hankering for Krishna? Is it something mechanical you're doing too? Because you heard you had to do it, you want to impress. Of course, in the beginning, our motivation may. But we should catch the message. Life is short, a few years left, a few minutes, a few moments left. We have to cry out to Krishna like a baby cries for mother. We have to cry out to Mother Hara, please give me mercy. We have to pour through the. We have to find a time to study these books. We have to find a time to go to the temple. We have to find a time to cultivate nice Vaishnava relations. We have to find a time to go to India. Put some money aside for Braj, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri. Roll in the dust. Visit the samadhis. Hear the leelas. We have to do like that. But difficult in America. Very difficult in America. People think this is the normal culture. This is the abnormal culture. This is the mutation, America. It's the mutation. It's not, it's Maya, that which is not. There's nothing, only good thing about this country is you can make money. And you can use that money for Krishna. Otherwise, what is this American culture? It's just another form. It's just an artistic way to forget Krishna. We shouldn't be intimidated. We shouldn't be impressed. We shouldn't forget the only real eternal culture is this Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. And why we're alive, why we have the time, we have to go very deep and understand our culture and tax our brains how to convince the Americans.
that this is the real culture and their culture is all. When a moment of death, everything you. So, Narottam's very kind. He sets this example. Very deep sadaka. He's more than a sadaka, but he's showing how much effort we have to put into our own spiritual lives. And then share that good fortune with others. So tonight we'll hear some of his divine words. Shri Premabhakti Chandrika Ki, Shri Narottam Das Thakur Ki, Shri Prabhupada Ki, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki, Golok Pindan Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Gaur Premanandi. I thank all of you very much. I have to go back to my tree, the tree I'm spending the night under. I have lots of things to do. Beginning with chanting my 16 rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.